We thank the Lord to be here today. And I want to look to the Lord in prayer before we start with the message. Dear Lord, please be with us today. Please open up our hearts. God, we're thankful how you've been so faithful to answer this prayer. Lord, we pray that you would again, by your Spirit, lead and God, direct in all that is said and done. But to be done as you desire to, Lord, and let you have your way, dear God. In Jesus' name we ask you, Lord. Amen. All right, I want to look in Psalms 40. And to those in the adult class, I apologize if this seems like more of the same. But this is what the Lord gave us early this morning, and we've been thinking about Psalms 40 this week some, and spending some time in it. I want to read a little bit of the first verse for you. And it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. So today we're going to talk about waiting patiently. Waiting patiently. I think about all the waiting that we do in life. Sometimes we wait for a light to change. And I think about how my feeling sometimes if I'm having to go somewhere and I get caught at a light, or maybe there's even a lot of traffic, there's one traffic light between me and my work, and it's in Hansville. But it can make up for all the traffic lights that might have been over the span of 20 miles in maybe some other place sometimes. Because if I get there when everybody's trying to get to their first class at the college that's just up the road, then the line can be very extensive and you can sit at this light for a long time. In fact, it can inspire you to take other directions when you see that the line is long. So I think about how I wait for that light, and I'm not sure I always wait patiently for it. Sometimes we've had some experiences lately. It seems like Amber's been remarking about how busy the interstates are, and how we've had several times where we've had to just stop on an interstate, which is not really what an interstate was made for. But in fact, it was made to avoid having to stop and to travel more quickly. But many times we get stuck on interstate waiting. I know our friends that just came to our house, they kept getting stopped on an interstate where you're supposed to be able to travel freely and go. They got stopped several times in Tennessee, and I said, well, it must have been Chattanooga. They said, well, maybe Chattanooga was bad, but it was even before that that they kept getting stopped. And I think about those times, and I think how patiently I waited for the traffic to clear, and I would say it probably wasn't very patiently. I was wishing that I had made a turn, thinking about maybe trying to get turned around somehow and go a different direction. And so I don't know that that qualifies as what the Lord's talking about right now. And I think about sometimes, and you children may identify with this a little bit, because we're getting to that stage of the year when our minds go to something that's going to happen here in a few months, and we begin to wait for Christmas, right? We begin to wait for that morning, and I think about how I've always waited for Christmas, and some things just dawn on your mind suddenly. Maybe that's why I like to start the Christmas season in October, because I'm just already tired of waiting on it. I want it to be here. So anyways, that's a thought for another time, but I think about the waiting we do for Christmas, and it's probably not a real patient waiting, especially as a child. You want it to come. You're ready for that day to come. So there's waiting. I mean, you're waiting on all those moments. We're in the traffic. You're not going anywhere. So you're waiting, and you could say, well, I'm waiting. You're waiting at the traffic light. I'm waiting at the traffic light for a turn. I could say I'm waiting, and I would not be telling a story. I would be telling the truth, right? I could say as a child, I always waited for Christmas. I never didn't wait for Christmas. It never came a day early. It never came on the 24th. Christmas has always been on the 25th as long as I've been alive. That's the day that Christmas was here. It's always happened. I've always waited on it. So is that the kind of waiting that's going to get me where I need to be, where this verse is telling me to be? No, because there's another verse, another word that goes with it, and that's the word patiently. So it's not just that you're waiting on the Lord this morning. Are you waiting patiently on Him? That's the question for us to consider. There's a definition in Webster's of waiting patiently, and I like to try to get these definitions out where I don't have to go back in here to my Bible app and read them, but I'm going to read them out of here because they were extensive, and I decided I would just read them this way. So I'm going to read you the definition of being patient, okay? Having the quality, and I want you to see that patient is not just waiting. If you are waiting this morning, you are not necessarily being patient, all right? So let's look at this. Having the quality of enduring evils without murmuring or fretfulness. This definitely changes. I confess there have been times where I've sat in the line and gone, I wish that I wasn't sitting here. What is that? That's called murmuring and complaining. I just said, I wish I wasn't sitting here. But the fact is, that's a murmur. All right. Sustaining afflictions of body or mind with fortitude, calmness, or Christian submission to the divine will. And get a hold of that calmness. Well, Lord, that's a whole nother level to this kind of waiting that you're expecting out of us. You know, God knows there's a waiting. But He said, look, I want to qualify this. I want you to make sure you get the point as to what's going to open the door to what I want to give you, all right? Okay, so it says, not easily provoked, calm under the sufferance of injuries or offenses, not revengeful, persevering, constant in pursuit or exertion. How many times have we got stuck in traffic and gone, okay, I think I can cut through here and I'll get over here. And then you get stuck behind something. Well, maybe if I back up and I'll go this way and I'll get, okay, well, let's try this. I'm going to get around this way and I'll get back over here, and you get back over here. And what do you recognize as you sit at the light sometimes? The car you were behind and the car that was behind you sometimes. And it just keeps going. That's not waiting patiently. All right, so waiting patiently, constant in pursuit or exertion, calmly diligent, not hasty, not overeager or impetuous, waiting or expecting with calmness and without discontent. So I want us to kind of get a hold of that. This is the waiting that God's asking for out of our lives this morning. This is how He wants us to wait. And especially, there was a word that we had in here that I want to really draw out this morning. And we've talked about it before, but it said here, waiting or expecting with calmness and without discontent. You know, one of the thoughts that come to your mind as you get stuck in traffic sometimes is, we are never going to get through here. It's not going to happen. This is blocked. We're going to be sitting here. And maybe as adults, we really know that's not true, but that thought kind of comes to your head. But as a kid, sometimes you hear that, you know, maybe I've said it, we're never going to get there. We're never going to be there. And maybe we might say, we're never going to be there on time. Well, that might be true of me getting someplace in a car. But now as I begin to wait on the Lord, okay, this is a whole nother measure here of waiting. And waiting patiently, because there should be an expectation that if I'm truly waiting on Him, that things will happen in the time that they need to. Let's go back through the things we say. Is God ever late? Is God ever late?
No, God is not there.
I mean, the greatest example, we've heard the song, you know, even when he's 4 days late, guess what?
He's on time.
He's on time. He's where he needs to be when he needs to be there to do what needs to be done. That's the very essence of who God is. So my expectation is not that things should get done when I think they ought to be done. No, they might not. And then you're like, well, why did I put my expectation in the Lord? It didn't get done. Oh, yeah, it did. It didn't get done the way you thought it needed to get done. It absolutely will get done when it needs to, in the way it needs to, how it needs to. Absolutely. If what we're doing is waiting on God. We get impatient. And we're like, well, I'm going to have to help him along here. You know, we look at Moses sometimes and we kind of laugh. We talked about Moses and answering the call last week. And we kind of look at him and go, well, man, he should have just known. I mean, God had that under control. God had that under control. God had that under control. So why am I trying to help him along with what he's doing in my life? Now, I don't mean that we're lazy. But, I mean, we do wait on the Lord. We do attend to him. We do have expectation in him as to what's going to happen. And when a situation in my life doesn't get there at the time I thought it was supposed to, can I accept that that probably was not the time it was supposed to get there? If I've been looking to the Lord and truly seeking him, then praise God, it wasn't supposed to be here at this time. That's what my reaction should be. So to speak, if I pull to the proverbial spiritual traffic light and it's stuck on red, what do I begin to think? Do I begin to think that something's messed up? Or do I begin to praise God that he has worked to put me right on time where I need to be when it needs to happen? What is my difference? You know, it's the difference in waiting with expectation or just waiting. All right, the Lord wants us waiting with expectation, with patience in our life, that he will do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. All right? So, here we go. It says, Romans 5, 1 through 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, right here, if we can just take in how we were delivered, it does so much for me to just consider what God did and how many times I tried to change the traffic light, or how many times I tried to push the traffic out of the way in my life. And then one day, God just cleared up the whole pathway. And here I was, because of what God did in my life, I was delivered. You know what that does for me? It helps me now to remember that and all the things he's done since then. But remember what God did. I'm like, now I can push this traffic. You know, if you're waiting in a traffic jam, you could try, get your car and start trying to push them out of the way. See what happens. That's not going to work out too good. You know? Take off down the other side of the road, so to speak, on the interstate, and see if you can dodge all the traffic and get ahead of this line of traffic that's over here. See how that works out for you. Don't, really. But spiritually, that's what we do a lot of times. Lord, help us. Let's remember that God will move this traffic when it needs to be moved. And I can wait on him in this moment. All right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You know, it's kind of like God gave us the car, and he made it run, and he built the interstate, and he put all those other cars out there. It's almost like a little Hot Wheel game for him, so to speak. And he's got everything sitting out here, and now we're going to change it. God gave us access to this place where I stand and his grace that I stand by. What is my concern? Is my concern what's happening all out here, or is my concern what's happening in here? Okay, Lord, you got me waiting, so let's do that work that you're trying to do in me by this. Because every day of my life is a day of your grace.
And what your grace was given for is so that your reflection could shine out of my life. So, Lord, that's what this day's about again. Whether we're, so to speak, kind of standing still or we're moving, whatever we're doing in the Lord, we're doing in the Lord because that's where the grace is. And the grace is what changes my life. And changing my life is what needs to happen. So why look at the things that God allows to happen in my life as what I've got to manage? And instead, look at the grace. Look at where God's working and say, Lord, what are you trying to do in here? Lord, help me. Help me to learn it. Help me get a hold of it. So when the traffic's ready to move, you know, that's the easiest way to get the traffic moving. You know what I mean? So to speak, in your life, is to be seeking the Lord. What are you trying to do in this moment? Lord, let me allow you to do that in my life. And then it goes on. It basically kind of says that. It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. We glory in the things that are happening around us. Why? Because it's not about them and what they are. It's about what the grace is doing in my life because God's allowing those things to be here right now. All right? Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, experience, hope. This is a chain that starts with the tribulation that requires the patience and creates these things that are necessary in our life to grow and to be what we need to be and to walk safely with the Lord and to make it home to glory and to be and to live the good life in the Lord. Here, patient experience, experience hope, and hope does not make ashamed. Why? Because of what happens when we allow this process to happen in our life. When we decide to choose patience, we decide to choose not just to wait, because really we're stuck where we are, but to wait patiently. Not to try some crazy solution that we came up with to try to fix this moment, but to wait on the Lord and let him do what he's doing. That doesn't lead to shame. That doesn't lead to a place where we're like, why did I do this? That leads to a place where we go, all right, okay, now I see exactly why I needed to just wait in you in this time. All right? And let me just say, that's not always in the moment that the traffic clears that you see that. But a lot of times it is. All right? It also says, Romans 8 chapter. You know, and this is something that can be big or little in our lives. God's not just saying, give me the big things, all right? Sometimes it's the light that changes, and sometimes it's Christmas that comes. Sometimes it's just a little thing, but God's worried. He's worried about how you're acting when the light's on red, as much as he's worried about how you're waiting months for Christmas, so to speak, in your life. He's concerned about all those things, because all things, not just the big things, not just the really, really hard things, but all things work together for good to those that are the called according to God's purpose. All right? So Romans 8 and 24 says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So what is the operative thing to remember about this verse that kind of qualifies the whole thing? The difference between wishing and hoping. The essence of the difference between those two definitions is that hope carries expectation. So this morning, as you're waiting, do you truly have an expectation in the Lord that he is going to cause all things to work together for good? Are you just saying it, or do you believe it? Do you believe that you know whom you have trusted, who you have committed these things to, and that he's the only one able to keep that which you committed unto him against that day? That he truly has this in his hands, and he is going to make it work perfect, just like it ought to work and the way it ought to work, if you can wait patiently for him. If you can put your hope in him and your expectation in him, then he will bring it to pass in the way it needs to. All right?
So expectation is how hope differs from wishing. Hope contains expectation. Expectation bolsters patience. Patience enables us to wait as the Lord said. Waiting as the Lord said opens the door to his blessing. All right, let me show you what I mean. Turn back to Psalms 40. Psalms 40, and let's read it again. I waited patiently for the Lord. This is what the Burnham message has been this morning, that we would learn to do that with the Lord. Okay? So David here is saying that this is what I did. And he wants to give us a testimony of what happened because he waited patiently for the Lord. All right? He says that when I waited patiently for the Lord inclined unto me. Is that not what I'm really wanting? I mean, maybe in life, all I want is to be able to manage my life and just do whatever and get to the end of my life and be like, oh yeah, forgot about you, Lord. Well, this is not the time to be figuring this out, but I guess I really should have been thinking about what you wanted in my life. Do we want the results of that, of us managing our life? Because the word tells us and experience tells us that the wheels come off that way. That's how the wheels come off in lives. When the Lord's in control of life, even when it seems like the whole world is falling apart, he sustains his people. But when we take over, the wheels come off. Maybe not to the eyes of the world, but they do in what matters in the long run. All right? So this is what we want, is for the Lord to incline unto us, to pay attention to us, to say, Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, listen to me. I need you to do this in my life. Okay, well, wait patiently on him then. And he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And what did he do when he heard my cry? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay. You know, I said, remember how God cleared the traffic in your life when you really gave it over to him. All right. And if you haven't had an experience like that, you need to have an experience where you truly give your life over to the Lord. Because just following the doctrines, that's a great way to live. But we need to give our lives over to the Lord, where we say, you know what? I don't even know all the doctrines, God, but I want you to have control of who I am and where I'm going in life. I want you to plan my life out. All right? It says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Man, I want to be on a rock. I don't want to be standing on shaky ground. I don't want to be a guy who can't figure out how to stand up because my legs are just wobbling underneath me. And no matter how strong I am in myself, there's no way to stand because the surface under me just collapses. I'm standing on eggshells. Would you rather stand on eggshells or the rock? The Lord's the only one that can put us on the rock, and he's the only one that can keep us there. Other than that, we're going to be standing on eggshells. All right? And so it says he set my feet on a rock, and then he went in front of me. He said, okay, you're waiting on me, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to establish your goings. That path out there is full of all kinds of holes and pitfalls and places you'd trip and places that would just collapse on you, and I'm going to go in front of you. I'm going to reinforce the bridges. I'm going to reinforce the roadway. I'm going to send my escort in front of you so we go at the time and the speed that I see you need to. And I'm going to take you home safe to glory. And along the way, we're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have a blessed time because that's what it is with the Lord. All the struggles we have, the Lord turns those things into blessings in our life. And it's so hard to say that. That's a whole nother message. But that's the truth of living for the Lord. If we're really allowing him to be in control of our life, then we're going to experience a life of joy where the hard times, the sad times, and the tears we've cried don't rob us of our joy in life. You know, I've had sorrows, but they haven't robbed me of my joy. I still wake up, and you know, if I think about them, I think about people I miss, I think about places, and there's a sorrow there, but it hasn't robbed me of my joy. I don't weep without hope. You know, in the very worst of times, in the worst of my weepings, I know I still have something that's going to last forever. So this is the Lord that we're looking to allow set up our goings. And he's put a new song in my mouth. You know, I've had a lot of songs, so to speak, but what he's really talking about here is there something, if we let the Lord work in our life, that wells up inside us. And we don't always say everything right. We don't always get everything right. We don't always make the right decisions. But when we're really trying to let the Lord have control, there's a song that's there that comes out of our life. Because ultimately we realize it's about what the Lord's doing in here. And though things may seem to be faltering out here, the Lord is still in control and he can do what's necessary, even if it involves correcting me, even if it all involves checking me. He can do that too. Whatever. If I'm willing to wait patiently on him. Remember, that's what opened this all up. Okay? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. This is the life we can have in the Lord. And I want to encourage us to wait patiently on him. That is what opens the door to this in our life. You pray for me. Oh, there were some words to a song. I'm sorry. I wanted to share them with you. And I forgot. And I don't think that any of us really know how to sing this, or I would just ask us to sing this. But it's called Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine. It says, it's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move, and you want me to climb. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are higher than mine. One day, I'm sure, I will look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven, and you know it's the hard times that make my faith steady and strong. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move, and you want me to climb. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are higher than mine.